listening to healthradio.fm. I'm reporter Ruby MacDonald, and today we're going to be talking about the effects of ractopamine in pork with none other than award-winning journalist Mark Schatzker. Hello, Mark. So happy to have you on our show today.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
It's my great pleasure to be able to speak with you regarding such an interesting topic, and you've talked about this on the Dr. Oz show as well. So let's begin talking about what more and more farmers are doing to their pigs, and that's injecting them with ractopamine. Is that right?
Well, they don't inject them. They feed them. It's in their feed. And ractopamine is a performance-enhancing drug. It makes the pigs gain more lean muscle and less fat. So it's more meat for your buck, essentially.
So it's like steroids.
It's very similar. I think technically it's not considered a steroid, but it's my understanding is it's considered similar to clenbuterol.
Okay. So does it affect the pigs physically? For example, do they grow faster or bigger?
Yes, they get bigger more quickly, and more of that flesh is lean instead of fat.
How about when it's cooked? Does it change the pork in any way, like texture or taste?
Yeah, it makes it tougher, makes it less succulent. It makes it worse, very simply. It just doesn't taste as good.
So if you put two porks beside each other, one has ractopamine and one is naturally fed, you can definitely tell a difference?
Absolutely, yeah.
What it does to the pork doesn't seem very healthy in any way, so should we be scared that the pork that we're buying still has ractopamine residue remaining in it, and can it cause harm to our body?
People have found residues in tests. As far as how much of that's actually getting in your body, I don't think we know that yet. I doubt it's all that high. It doesn't sound like a good idea to me. But I think even more importantly, I think if it's making the pork taste worse, we do all sorts of things to make that pork chop palatable. We put barbecue sauce or ketchup on it. But the other important thing to consider is that it's not very nice to the pigs. It makes them stressed. There's a humanitarian issue, and I think that's also why it's very important.
Yes, definitely. Is it true that some countries are now completely banning it?
Yes, it is true. And in fact, there have been cases where American pork has been refused because there have been traces of ractopamine found in it.
Hopefully, eventually, more and more companies are going to remove ractopamine from their products overall.
Well, I think one way is for consumers to be aware. If we say we don't want it, then there won't be as much incentive for farmers to do it.
And speaking of not wanting it, how can we tell a product that we're buying has ractopamine in it?
It's very difficult. The one surefire way, well, there's two. One is that you know your farmer. So if you buy your pork locally, let's say at a farmer's market. The other way is if you buy organic pork.
On the label, is there something that we should look for?
Right now, there's only one label that says ractopamine free. But if you see certified organic, you know it has not been fed ractopamine.
Okay, so definitely look for certified organic.
Correct.
Okay, Mark, you talk about this in your book called The Dorito Effect. Can you tell us more about your book?
Yes, my book argues that the food problem, which is to say obesity and the chronic diseases of eating too much, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and so forth, can be best understood through flavor. We talk an awful lot about carbs and sugar and protein. We're very nutrient-focused, but the truth is flavor is the incentive to eat. We all want our food to be delicious, and if we look at how we've changed flavor over the past 60 years, it tells us an awful lot about why so many of us are making such poor eating choices.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, because, you know, a food is your favorite because of the way it tastes. And the
That's
flavor.
Right, and even if you're on a diet, you want your food to be as delicious as possible. So it's really deliciousness that has changed. If you look at the whole foods we grow, tomatoes, strawberries, chicken, it's getting blander and blander year after year. The other side of the flavor coin is that flavor technology is getting extremely powerful. We now add synthetic flavorings, not just to soft drinks and to potato chips, but we add them to yogurt, we add them to pasta sauces, we add them to soy milk. And by doing this, we are tinkering with the incentive, with the desire to eat, because the good food doesn't taste delicious anymore, and the bad food tastes hyper-delicious.
So you go more in-depth about these topics in your book?
Yes, very much. It's a deep dive into the science of flavor.
Oh, perfect. Do you have a favorite part of your book?
You know, what's the most interesting for me is the science that looks at how animals use flavor to find the nutrients they need. So if you look at something like sheep, if you make sheep deficient in a vitamin, they will seek out the foods that have those vitamins. Now, sheep don't know anything about vitamins. They've never heard the word. It means nothing to them. What they do know is what tastes good. So what's so interesting is that we have this built-in system where what we want to eat lines up perfectly with what we need to eat. But that's something that we've broken in the modern food environment because we've lost the flavor in whole foods and we've been putting fake flavorings in so much of what we eat.
Yes, I definitely agree with you on that. So it seems like it's similar to maybe when your body's thirsty and you tend to crave for water.
It's similar. And you know what? There's a really interesting case I talk about. British sailors in the 1700s that were dying of scurvy, which is a vitamin C deficiency. They didn't know what caused scurvy. But what they did know is that they were craving fruits and vegetables. They were just paralyzed by a desire for the food that would cure them.
So what inspired you to write this book, Mark?
It really had to do with a curiosity about flavor. It came out of my last book, which was called Steak, which was I traveled the world searching for the best steak. But what I found, which surprised me, was that the very best tasting steak was grass-fed beef, which is healthier. Now, this is not what we expect. We usually think the really delicious stuff is bad for you. And this told me something really interesting, that maybe flavor and nutrition aren't enemies. Maybe they actually go hand in hand. And that is the truth, that when you look at real foods, the flavor and the nutrition are intimately linked. It's something that we've broken only relatively recently in human history.
Well, Mark, I love the topics that you touch on, and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of your book, The Dorito Effect. But if our listeners want to grab a copy of it as well, where should they go?
It is available online. It's at major bookstores. It's at independent bookstores. And they can check out my website. If they go to DoritoEffect.com, that'll take them to my website.
So again, that's DoritoEffect.com.
Correct.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Mark, for being on healthradio.fm and for filling us in on the effects of ractopamine, which is a great topic to touch on, and it's great to have you on our show.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.